Praise the Lord. God is good, and God is lovely all the time, too. It's worthy to praise Him all the time. Hallelujah. Good to see you tonight. Not many here, but we won't be a long time anyway. I'm not a long speaker anyway, so Ellsworth, you can get almost take a nap, but not quite. I'll probably wake you up. But God is good. Ruth, I'm sure you would like to rather hear Ruth than me tonight, but she's at the funeral home. Not her at the funeral home, but I mean, she's at the funeral home visiting the funeral home, I guess is what I would say. Her last living aunt, I guess it is, passed away. And I don't think she has any more that I can remember. But she's in there tonight with her family and the family that lost a loved one. Her name was Lena Wilt. I don't know if any of you knew her or not. She was Bud Wilt. Bud worked in the mines. I'm sure some of you might know him or knew him. He passed away not too long ago, and she passed away then just recently. But anyway, we'll try to cover what we can do tonight. We're finishing up in Philippians. Remember that Philippians, Paul wrote as a prison apostle, epistle, I guess you'd say apostle. Not he wasn't a wasn't an apostle, but an epistle. But Paul was in prison when he wrote it. We know that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for what you've done in our life. We thank you for what you're doing in each of our lives. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. We ask your blessings, Father, upon this time, Lord. Father, there may not be many here, but each one has come to hear from you, Lord. Father, they may not see me or hear me, but they might hear you, Lord. Because this is your word, not mine. We love you, Lord. We're expecting, Father. We come expecting you to move, Lord, in a spatial way. Lord, we know that there's needs in the house tonight, needs in our body. We pray, Father, for Willard, Lord, Willard Paul, Lord. You know him. You know what his problem and situation is. We pray that you'd come tonight and touch him. We pray for Ron, Lord. We pray that you would touch him in a spatial way, Lord. We know, Father, that he has been suffering and struggling, Lord. But God, you're the great I am. You're Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. Lord, we thank you for that. We pray for the others, Lord, for Rita. And we pray, Father, for Mary and Harriet that's lost their husbands, Lord, not too long ago, Lord. And I'm sure they still have a void in their life. And Lord, we just pray that you would come to them, and Lord, you would fill that void with your love and grace. Father, be our Heavenly Father, the one we can trust, the one we can put our faith in, the one that moves mountains. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you and praise you. We thank you for your love for us, for your son Jesus, who gave his life for us. We didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But Lord, we thank you and we praise you tonight for that. Bless the service, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless those that are here and those who couldn't be here, Lord, for one reason or another. You know our hearts, Lord. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. In chapter 1, as we studied, Paul was thrown in prison just for preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember, he was struck blind on the Damascus Road, and he started speaking Jesus to people. They didn't like that, so they threw him in prison. When we find ourselves in tough situations, what do? Paul went to the Lord, and I hope that each one of you will too. That is, you get in a tough situation, that you reach out to the one that can handle the situation, that can deal with the situation. We maybe can't, but he can. In chapter 2 of Philippians, talks about being in unity. How there is power in unity. If we go back to Matthew, it says, when there's division, the house cannot stand. And we know that. And I was thinking about unity in the church and how that, you know, when this church was being built, I'm sure there was some disgruntled folks around with disappointments, maybe didn't understand or didn't like what was being done at the time. But look what happened because they were faithful. They hung in there and worked through that. And God has surely blessed. We wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for those that went through those struggles. I remember going down to the old church to railroad tracks, and the first time we went, we couldn't even find a parking place. We drove around the church a couple times and finally went, I think we went to Kaiser to church that day. But then when we finally did get inside, there wasn't hardly any seats left. So God is surely blessed. And we pray that those that aren't coming here, that they're going somewhere else, that they haven't left totally, but they're still trying to love the Lord. And I was thinking about unity, how that when there is unity, faith is released. When there's faith in unity in prayer. In Matthew 18:19, it says that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. God is faithful. We keep our hearts right. It's amazing what he'll do. I know each one of us has experienced that, or I would assume you have. And I know that God, my God, is faithful. You know that he is there. Paul's attitude for maintaining unity, we studied in chapter 2, says, do nothing through selfish ambition. With lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. I was thinking about, I don't know why I got onto this in my mind, but I was thinking about sports and how we get competitive and what to win at any cost. At least I know that was my experience with sports. I didn't like to lose. When my grandson was in sports, I didn't like to lose. But that shouldn't be our attitude. If we can see and maybe talk to people that God would speak and use us, we don't always think that way, though. But Paul was. He goes on to say, be concerned for the interest of others. How many of us are really concerned about others that are struggling or maybe having problems? We don't have any idea when people do or say things. We don't have any idea what they're going through. We only know ourselves, and we know how we fail. He says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And I know that I have trouble with that. My mind is not always like Christ. I know that. In chapter 3, Paul goes on and talks about rejoicing in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice, he said. And we know that Ruth spoke on that last week. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Paul talks how he had trusted in the flesh. And he talks about how we trust in the flesh. There's a battle that's always going on between the flesh and the spirit. He says, when I would do good, evil is present. And I'm sure each of us recognizes that, or we should, because there is a battle going on. Paul says he hasn't attained that perfection, but he was still going after it. He was forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I believe that's what we're doing. We're pressing towards that mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. We're looking for that heavenly home. We're all getting a little bit closer. We see some young ones in here, but a lot of us are getting that where we're closer to that heavenly home. And when someone passes away, we really struggle with that. But just think, they may be looking for a heavenly mansion. They may be already in that heavenly mansion when we are here feeling and hurting, but they're already at home. Hallelujah. Paul recognized that he had suffered loss because of his belief in Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, whether you've suffered loss because of your confession and your profession of Jesus. I know that many people have struggled with their jobs because of their profession of Jesus Christ. Most jobs anymore want you to work on Sundays, especially. There's very few that you can get out of doing that. And so if a person wants that job, they almost have to work on Sunday. And that's not good, because once they get to working on Sunday, it's easy to stray a little bit further and a little bit further. So in chapter 4, Paul was wrapping some things up. He encourages believers to find contentment in all circumstances by trusting God's provision and power. What does Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say? I'm sure most of us can quote it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. We need to try to do that. That's not always that easy. He goes on, he said, we want to find peace by taking worries to God through thankful prayer. Maintain a pure thought life by focusing on what is true and good, and experience joy through a deep connection with Christ, even in difficult times. I know when things get difficult and we're struggling, it's awful hard to have that joy of the Lord. But if we can get beyond the struggle, keep our eyes on Jesus, It's amazing what God will do. As we start this chapter, he says, stand fast in the Lord. First chapter 4, verse 1. I don't know what they have it or not, but it don't matter. If you got your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. And he talks about standing fast in the Lord. We need to be stable and consistent so that other people, when they see us, they recognize that we are Christians. Are you a light in a dark place? I know when we struggle, people see that lots of times, more so than they see us reaching out to Jesus. We need to somehow get beyond that struggle and reach out to the great I am. We're not a very good witness when we're up and down. And I have problems with that, and I'm sure many of you do too. It's not easy to stay faithful and consistent, to stand fast in the presence of the Lord. We know that there are a lot of factors that go into being stable and standing fast because we are flesh. Like Paul says, there's a battle going on there. But we have to walk in the Spirit as much as we can. We are spirit, even though we don't even realize we are spirit. This old flesh will go back to the ground, but our spirit will go back to be with Jesus. Hallelujah, to go back to heaven, to go back to the God who gave it. It says, we think about it, where it says, having done all to stand. And I believe that's what God expects out of us as a Christian, having done all to stand. Paul says in Romans 7:21, I already quoted this, when I would do good, evil is present. There's always that struggle going on between the good and evil. And I think we can probably all testify to that. We have tried to do good and something will rise its head. It's amazing how that'll happen. You can be doing the best you know for the Lord and something will just pop up and take your joy away from you. Once we get saved, our heart should be to always reflect Jesus. But it's a battle. That's why the scripture talks so much about being an overcomer. If you look in the word, overcoming is a pretty big part of the New Testament. Paul especially talks about it. We just feel that we can't, that there's a struggle. That old flesh is so powerful. But yet, Jesus overcome, that we might be able to overcome. It says in Revelations, they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The blood of the Lamb is accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior because he shed his blood for that so that we might be an overcomer. I was thinking about, well, who do we have to overcome? Well, if you go back to Revelation chapter 12, it says that great dragon, that old serpent, the devil, and Satan. Four in one there, pretty much. That old serpent, the great dragon, the devil, and Satan. Four in one, you might say. And we have to overcome. It says, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that his time is short. And we've talked about that. Different ones have shared that. The pastors shared that. Time is short. So the battle's getting tougher and tougher. We have to be faithful and walk in the Spirit. Really, stand fast in the Lord is, I would almost say, that is the title of this whole chapter of chapter 4. But what do we have to do to stand fast? Well, Paul goes on here and sort of seven different things he talks about will help us to stand fast. The first one is to, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. We can't rejoice in David, or we can't rejoice in Ivan or Cindy, but we have to rejoice in the Lord. That's where our power comes from. And he says, again, I say rejoice. In chapter 2, Paul says, fulfill ye my joy. It's like he's saying, as you rejoice in bad situations, you build me up as well. So as we rejoice in bad situations, we encourage others that will be able to rise above their situation. We have to learn to rejoice because our life's not perfect. But because we serve a risen Savior. We serve the one that will help us to rejoice. Truly, the Lord is our strength if we'll let him come and handle our situation. I was thinking about how the difficult situations can help you mature. If we never have a difficult situation, we'll never mature in the things of God. We'll never know that God can handle it. So we have to go through those battles. We must know that He is faithful, that He is full of love, grace, and mercy, that His joy will give us that miraculous strength. It's not a joy that we can just throw out there and be like that, but it's His joy. Hallelujah. We find joy by being connected and committed to Jesus Christ. We have to stay in touch with Him. In verse 5, he says, "Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." A biblical definition of moderation is it's a virtue encompassing self-control and balance, avoiding extremes in actions, desires, and lifestyle so that we'll honor God. I was thinking how spoiled we are in America. Excess could almost be our middle name. Extreme could be our middle name. I was thinking about buying a car, and I haven't bought one for 5 or 6 years, but we have to have heated steering wheel, heated seats, four-wheel drive, all these things that I was thinking my parents grew up without. But, you know, God has so blessed us. We're a country and a people of excess. We think we need it. We think we have to have it, but we don't. All we need is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I don't know why I thought about that, because like I said, I haven't bought a car for 4 or 5 years at least. I was thinking also about Rich's AI sermon on Sunday, his artificial intelligence he talked about. I was watching the news for a second today, and I didn't watch it very long, but they was talking about Hollywood's getting into it. I don't know where you saw that today, where that they come up, I guess, robotic actors almost. I don't really know what they're called, but they'd sort of cloned a woman, I guess, and so the actors are getting all upset because I'm sure they're going to take their jobs is what's going to happen. But excess, so much excess. And when we are up and down and not standing fast in the Lord, what kind of example or testimony do you think we are? People see us. They're always watching. You always have eyes on you, whether you realize it or not. It doesn't matter how mature a Christian you are or not. There's always someone watching. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, it says, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of God? For ye were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, "All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. Not all things build up, not all things edify." And we know that. But sometimes it becomes awful hard to just keep that phrase in our mind. Excuse me here for a second. The only time I talk very much is when I holler at Ruth, and she's not here, so I can't holler at her, but I'm still getting sort of the problem there. In verse 6, there in Philippians chapter 4, it says, "Be careful or anxious for nothing." Uh-oh. I got caught. "In everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God." Verse 11 says, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Ruth, are you content tonight? Okay, good. That is good. But it encourages believers to overcome by turning their concerns into prayers, by presenting them to God with thanksgiving rather than dwelling on the situation with worry. This is where we prove our trust and our faith in Him, and when we can do that. Thanksgiving needs to be an important part of our prayer life. It encourages us to believe in what God has done for us and will continue to do as we keep our heart and our mind on Him. Do you remember Doug Small's definition of prayer? Do you remember what he said prayer was? Communion's the first thing. Talking to God. Just sharing your heart with God. That's the first part of prayer. The next part is intercession. Praying for the needs of others. Praying for somebody like Willard or Ron or these that have special needs. The next thing is petition. Praying for your own needs. Praying for your own struggles. Don't be afraid to pray for them and believe God for them. And the last thing that he said was thanksgiving should be a part of our prayer life. So when you pray, try to remember those four things so that you include that, incorporate that in your prayer life. I know anymore it seems like I'm thanking the Lord more than I'm doing anything else, whether I'm interceding or petitioning or whatever. But God's been so good, and we do so need to be thankful for what he has done. Hallelujah. I'm afraid we get careless and forget how faithful God is. We pray and ask God, and then we forget we even prayed. We forget God's moved for us, and yet we don't thank him for it. We get careless. We take him for granted when all he wants to do is communicate with us. Spend time with him. I'm probably an oddball, but I talk to myself a good bit, but really I'm not talking to myself. I talk to the Lord. At least I'm hoping he accepts that as talking to him, because I've always done that. I've always sort of just, you know, God, you're here, so I'm talking to you. And I hope he accepts it as that. But this verse was written to the Philippian church, but it applies to us when we have problems and worries. We often forget to talk to God and just ask him to meet the need. We get so caught up on the problem that we forget about the one that has the answer. He has the answer. He's Jehovah Jireh, the great provider, the great I am, the King of Kings, and he'll be there for you. In verse 7 it says, let the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. We must have peace with God before we can have peace of God. The peace of God transcends human understanding. We have to keep our eyes and our heart fixed on Jesus. We may not understand it or how it will operate or be, but God will be there if you allow him to come. We have to know that he is in control. He is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. He'll give you that peace where there is no peace. And how many times has he done that for each of us? I was singing a little chorus today, and turn your eyes on Jesus. You know, we need to so much do that. Turn your eyes on him and keep them on him. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's my Jesus. Hallelujah. He is faithful. Verse 9 says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Can you just imagine Paul sharing on his deliverance from prison when him and Silas were imprisoned for casting out the whatever it was, I guess a demon or whatever, but he cast out the spirit of divination out of the lady because she made money for him. He was thrown in prison. It says at midnight, Paul and Silas sang praise. Can you just imagine that? Being in a jail, and they started singing to the Lord. I don't know whether they expected God to move for them or not. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they did. I wonder, too, if the other hoodlums in the jail joined in. You know, you think about things like that. Maybe you shouldn't, but it goes on to say, and suddenly there was a great earthquake that shook the foundation of the prison, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Aren't you thankful that sometimes he just shakes our foundation? We need our foundation shook many times so that we'll turn to him, that we'll run to him. Not just say, hello, God, but truly believe that he is there and faithful. And it says it didn't end there because the prison keeper gave his heart to the Lord and all of his family, and they were baptized. So God continued to move on through there. And it says that Paul and Silas waited to be released. Now, if I'd have been in jail and the doors flew open and there was an earthquake, I probably wouldn't have waited. I'd have been out of there, Deanna. I'd have been gone. I can run pretty fast. I used to. I can't anymore. I can limp pretty fast now, I guess. But, you know, would we have waited? I don't know that we would have. I don't think very many would have, but Paul and Silas did. And then God used them mightily to see the jailer and his family saved. It goes on to say in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, I'll just shorten it here, true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of a good report, think on these things. We can overcome fear, depression, so many things when we keep our hearts and our minds on Jesus. And I was thinking about things that are true. You know, most of the time when we get upset or we're maybe just wake up in the middle of the night, we don't think about things that are true and honest. We think about the things that we really can't do anything about. So that's when we should get our hearts and minds on Jesus, because he's the only one that can do anything about them. We worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, and yet tomorrow's out of our control, but not out of his. Hallelujah. When I'm anxious and trying to relax, I've learned the one thing to do is start quoting scriptures to myself. I may go through 100 scriptures before I really relax, but it's amazing how many scriptures we do know if we'll just take the time to think them through and let God be God. Hallelujah. What does the word say about that? It says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow will take care of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And we recognize that. In Matthew 6, 33 and 34, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things are they talking about there? Well, food, clothing, whatever we need. God has it all in the palm of his hand. It's most of it's out of our control. I mean, we can work and work and work, and most of us do until we're old and gray, but God's still got it in control. It's up to him. Take no thought for the morrow will take care of itself. The word says, whatsoever state we are in, to be content. All of these things help us to do that. It's a process where we learn to trust in him. Sometimes we have to prove him and ourselves that we do believe. We think we believe, but do we really? Question yourself sometime. And then in verse 13, in closing, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. It's up to him. He's the one who'll give us strength to overcome if we'll allow him to do that. But we have to put our trust in him and our faith in him. We have to realize that through Christ, we can do all things. Nothing is impossible. Most of the time, we are in the flesh, and we try to do all the things we can do. And maybe that's not all bad, because God expects us to do what we can do. But in that, we also have to put our trust and faith in him. Maybe that's what we're doing. We're trying to walk in the Spirit rather than to walk in the flesh. We can do all things. Or step aside and let God be God. Many times we can do the things that need to be done. But if we can just get out of the way and let God be God, it's amazing what will happen. And that will increase our faith and our trust in him. And if we are faithful in these things, we read verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God is faithful. He will provide our need if we will put our trust in him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Paul, the testimony that he was to the people of his day and to us today, Lord, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We limit ourselves. We limit you. I pray that you would forgive us, Lord, and I pray that you'd help us to be overcomers. And we will share the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, Lord. We will share what you've done for us. And truly, Lord, you have been gracious and merciful, done many great things, but we need to share them. Lord, we just ask tonight that you would bless each one that's come out. Lord, you'd be with them as they go or separate ways. Lord, you just move and have your being in us, Lord. Use us for your glory. Let us be an instrument, Father, in your hands. Take us and use us, Lord, for your glory. Not for us, but for your glory, Lord. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.